My friends, welcome back. This is the first day of the week, I think, for most people listening. So hope you had a wonderful weekend. Happy Tuesday. This is Elliot Lane. Technically, I am a co-host of Benzinga's Cannabis Insider, but you know, we should all go through a little therapy and through some abandonment classes because Javier Jase has absolutely abandoned us the past three shows. And I have today and on Thursday at 4 Eastern time by myself. But that being said, drop your comments and questions in the chat. First one to y'all, say hey if you're there. Tell me your favorite cannabis stock. But past that, I would love to know, are you doing dry January? Are you doing dry January? I feel like it's been a consistent theme this year more than any other year. Like that I can remember in recent history, dry January is now like if you're not doing it, you're not cool. So if you're not doing it, feel free to use this audio. You're not cool, per me. I'm not doing it. But that being said, there is a new poll. As you see the banner on the screen, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this later, there's a new poll out that 1 in 5 people doing dry January are using cannabis as an alternative. So I have a couple questions. Right. So if you're just doing this to save your organs, to save your body, give your body a break from alcohol, totally fine. I think this is really cool. But if you're doing dry January, for the psychological aspect of it, is this not a little counterintuitive here? I don't know. Just a question. I'm not trying to poke too much, but I think it's worth pointing out. But that being said, I think it's a cool update for the industry. So that being said, maybe we'll get Marion's thoughts. We do have an awesome guest coming up, the CEO and founder of Simplifya, Marion Mariathasan. I hope I said that correct. Probably did not. I should have asked beforehand, but a leader in compliance in this industry. We're going to continue that theme. We spoke with Metric last Thursday, speaking with Simplifya today. These are topics that must be had. My name is Elliot Lane. Of course, there is my Twitter handle. If you want to give me a quick follow, I'm an okay follow at best. So some other news. Sundial, SNDL on the NASDAQ, finishes their acquisition of Valens, VLNS on the NASDAQ. I will say Valens was going through the struggle bus a bit in terms of keeping up with NASDAQ regulations. I think this was a bit of a saving grace for them, but Sundial does get a pretty valuable asset. Valens was a leader for years in the Canadian space and really cannabis industry at large. So I love this acquisition. I think they got it at a good price. And I think overall what Sundial's building portfolio-wise, this is really, really becoming a heck of a company from my perspective. Viridian Capital Advisors. Y'all, who do you think the top cannabis stock is in terms of money? In terms of balance sheet, in terms of things that investors look at. Well, Viridian Capital Advisors has been releasing some knock-dead data. Y'all, if you don't follow them, they've been putting out newsletters for years. Viridian Capital Advisors, Scott Griper over there is a good friend of ours. He puts out some really cool newsletters, some great data. They have some amazing data. They're starting a subscription platform, I believe. It is public knowledge. But that being said, just go check out their data, subscribe to their newsletters, and that is awesome. But per their data, Green Thumb, no surprise here, right? OTC listed GTBIF leads with the highest average between liquidity, leverage, profitability, and size. However, Planet 13, OTC listed PLNHF is the top cannabis stock over $100 million market cap, which they're only 15. When it comes to liquidity. So Planet 13, I think a very nice call out there from Scott. Very important to understand. Size, so the top size of the operator in terms of $100 million market cap stocks or more goes to Curaleaf, CURLF on the OTC. TCNNF, that's Trulieve on the OTC. Also, thank you, Aaron. Don't feel free not to keep up with me, but Curaleaf there. Is top size. I think Trulieve is second in size, but came in very close to GTBIF to in all categories. So they were close second there. Ianthus didn't perform very well overall, but again, there are just 15 companies here. So I'm not sure you look at the bottom in something like this. It's more so, those that are winning out. So quite a bit happening on the public company side in terms of which stocks do you invest in? right? And we're looking at these MSOs. What are ETFs invested in? You know, 80%, I think, or between 70 and 80% of MSOS are those tier one MSOs. You know, we've seen a foray of tweets from the likes of like Alan Brockstein, you know, on if you follow him at all, you follow Advisor Shares at all, which is the company behind MSOS. You see that there are those who don't like tier one MSOs, such as Alan Brockstein. However, if you follow Pablo Zwanich, there are many analysts out there who are saying those are probably the only good buys in this industry currently. They're really widening the gap. So what do you all think? Drop your questions in the chat. Let us know in an email afterward. We'd love to hear from you if you're listening to this podcast down the road. That being said, just to fill you all in quickly, keep an eye, as always, on Minnesota. They're continuing to march downhill. In legalizing here, we're going to have maybe some law changes in Virginia, making it more accessible to sell marijuana in the state. Hawaii and New Hampshire looking like they're about to get more active in the full legalization discussion. And New Jersey approves 56 conditional adult use cannabis licenses. So we are moving in a good direction, y'all. It's not all doom and gloom. We do have a long road to hoe here. But that being said, there is a lot happening in this industry, and you can stay caught up. Benzinga.com/cannabis throughout the day. Download the Benzinga app. Scroll over to the cannabis section. Get all your cannabis news you could possibly want whenever you want it, right on your mobile. I called it a mobile. I'm 60 years old. A cell phone, your cellular, whatever you want to call it. That being said, let's keep it moving. That's it for me today. I want to bring over CEO and founder of Simplifya, Marion Maria Thassen. God, I hope... I'm so sorry, Marion. I know how to say it, but I butchered it twice and did two different ways.
You actually said it correctly the first time. It's Maria Thassen. So that's impressive. It's a tough word.
You know, I was like, you know what? If that's not right, I'm going to change it up and go a different way just in case. And I guess I shouldn't have. But my friend, welcome on. We've actually never had Simplifya on this show, if I'm not mistaken. So thrilled, man, to have you here. Give us a quick sense of who Simplifya is. What does Simplifya do for the cannabis space?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Elliot. So Simplifya is now the longest running and leading regulatory and operational compliance company in the industry. We were founded back in 2016. And just for your audience, if they don't know, because I think the word compliance gets so freely kind of used and kind of also confused in this industry, regulatory and operational compliance is basically ingesting every piece of regulation that's put out there by regulators. And so it's basically all the regulations, how you should be running your business to stay compliant. That's what we call it, regulatory and operational, because, you know, you have seed to sale compliance, you have POS compliance, and those are all subsets of the larger picture of regulatory and operational compliance.
So how do you,
in that world, that's what we do.
That's impressive. So, you know, I guess a couple, let's start on, I'm curious about both ends of this. You know, how do you get the data and how do you give the data to those who are searching for it? But let's start with the get the data. How are you collecting all that information?
Yeah, so as a regulatory tech company, so we have a whole team called an RA team, regulatory affairs team, and they're all lawyers and policy folks. And literally all they do is sit there and ingest the regulations. So they have close relationships with regulators. So we use technology as well as humans to actually sift through, ingest those regulations. As the company's name implies, Simplifya, we simplify it down to a 12th grade reading level, and we convert them into yes or no questions that people can answer. And so it's ingested through human and technology, then we present it to our operators through an audit piece of technology, through web app, mobile app, tablet app, so that people can walk through a facility, answer the questions, and at the end of it, it pops out a report that says, here's where you're compliant, here's where you're not. And for those areas of non-compliance, wow, we even take it one step further and tell you how to fix them.
So this is fully automated? You're, yep. Wow.
Yeah.
That seems unusual for me, at least from what I've heard, but I may be behind on the times.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, the, it, you know, we always joke compliance is probably the least sexiest part of the industry, but it's something that must exist, right? Especially if you want, you know, we all want federal, some sort of federal movement. We want SAFE to pass. And if that's the case, then it's all about accountability, and compliance is a real part of that equation.
And what part of the game do you think you're in, though, in the sense of compliance? I'm not talking about the data you're receiving. I'm really talking about the product you've built at large here, right? You know, there's a lot of people who look at these compliance products and may just not know how to use them correctly.
Correct.
And are blaming the product, or they're blaming the level of technology. But I'm just curious, from your perspective, are you a company that, you know, if we went federal tomorrow, you would be able to transition, it would be normalized, you'd be there with them? Is that possible? I'm just curious, what part do you think you're in?
Yeah, so as it stands now, Elliot, you know, since there is no federal, we ensure that, so we cover 29 states at this point, and we're working quickly to cover all the states that are coming online and that currently exist. But, you know, if federal legalization was to happen, you know, essentially you're going to take all the state regulations and then you're going to add on top of that another layer of federal, right? So This is something that we are certainly aware of what might need to happen and how it'll happen. And, you know, we react very quickly. I mean, we've been around, you know, 6+ years now. And so we've kind of figured out, not to say that we're perfect, but we certainly try and stay on top of all these things.
Absolutely. So on your website, our products are used by licensed operators, government, lawyers, consultants, insurance, and financial institutions. Obviously, not all of them are auditing a product, right? So I imagine some of them are ingesting the data for other purposes, such as investment opportunities and or, you know, for government. You know, maybe you want to go into that. But, you know, in terms of, you know, all of these different client bases that you have, are they all recurring? Are they all consistently using you? I'm just curious your product model there.
Yeah, so government is the new part, and I'll touch on that briefly. So we have a tool for enforcement. As you may or may not know, you know, a lot of the enforcement agencies are still using paper and clipboard when they go out there, right? And so they have very limited budget, limited resources, and so we've created a tool for them to be able to kind of streamline their work.
That's cool.
But when it comes to financial institutions and insurance, and so we have a whole host of different products. The core product is what is used by license operators. That's where we started, Elliot, this audit tool. And we have SOP packages bundled into that. But then for financial institutions, it's all about accountability, right? If you want to bank with a credit union or a bank, as an operator, you need to be able to show that you are abiding by the rules of the where you operate. Same thing with insurance. So we do from license monitoring. We have a new product called Regulatory Library, which lawyers use. And we have a product called Simplify Market Guide, which is a summary of every state and all the key elements that they, you know, whether it's an investor or a lawyer or a banker, everyone needs to know about. So you know, we're a very active company in that we're constantly trying to solve problems. And it's all in that kind of sphere of regulatory and operational compliance. That's kind of our niche, I suppose.
So I imagine you get a lot of data that perhaps would provide some insight into how well companies are doing in a regulatory manner. I would imagine some of that's under NDA, but I'm just curious, are you able to, you know, give us a sense when people use you, say, for the first time?
Sure.
Where are they? Like how often do you see them ace that audit?
So that's a great question, Elliot, but it's one I'll answer this way. It really depends on how buttoned up an operator is in terms of before they sign up with Simplifya, did they have a compliance officer right now? Some of our biggest clients are the big MSOs. They have massive compliance teams, and yet having a tool like Simplifya really helps them streamline all of their different locations, all the ever-changing regulations and whatnot. So to answer that question, it really depends. So if you already have someone focused on compliance who's very active on it, you know, first-time audit might yield, you know, a score. If we don't do scores, but, you know, where I'll just give you kind of an idea, maybe a 70%. Once they start using Simplify on an ongoing basis, you know, that score definitely goes up. We get emails from clients often where, hey, an enforcement folk just walked in and thank God for Simplify, because it just helped us like show that, hey, here's our report. We're doing this on an ongoing basis. Even if there were a few dings that, you know, they had missed during an audit, you know, some sort of a regulator is going to be much more lenient with you if you show good faith and that you are doing your job versus, you know, you just don't have anything to provide, right? So that, I think that's the key element there, is to be able to like show proactive, you know, work on your part.
In related industries, agriculture, say, you know, you know, do you have a baseline of how you created this product? Or is it really completely based on the regulations? I'm curious, like where the baseline came from.
Yeah, so this technology and the product was literally built from scratch for the cannabis industry.
Wow.
I think, you know, you have companies that obviously can try and take an existing product off the shelf and customize it for various industries. But in this case, we spent probably the first 2 years literally talking to operators, small, large, understanding the pain points, and then building this product from scratch. And it continues to evolve even now, because just like the industry is constantly evolving, our product is constantly evolving to serve that.
So, mm-hmm. Who do you see signing up mostly now? I mean, I would imagine, you know, licensed operators are always in need, but is there one of these, you know, categories of companies that you see it has a higher interest in understanding compliant regulations?
Yeah, I would say for us, at least, multi-state operators are a large part of our base, because I think, you know, they're really risk averse. They're much more buttoned up. They don't want to fall anywhere through the cracks, right? Because they've got millions and millions of dollars of investment money. And, you know, we always tell people your most valuable asset as an operator is your license. And, you know, if you really do get dinged, or you get busted, you know, we're talking about thousands, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of fines, or you lose your license, which is not a very fun place to be. So, you know, for us, it really kind of varies, because we do have small mom and pop, but MSOs. But MSOs, I would say over the last year or so, have been, you know, mid-sized to the top ones. I've been flocking to our product for those reasons.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at some of them: Curaleaf, Columbia Care, Cresco, Jushi, Air. I mean, you definitely have some great ones. And then, you know, some single state operators too.
Yes.
Silverstem, you know, so I guess level of product, right? You know, level of partnership with each of these companies. Obviously, Columbia Care in Florida, West Virginia, New York, you know, all these other states, right? They're operating, and I imagine they need you on a much larger level than a Silverstem. So maybe for some of the cannabis professionals that could be watching or in taking this content, what does that look like in difference between, you know, somebody that has multiple states versus somebody that is in just one state?
Yeah, so it really, I think, you know, even with these big MSOs and having a large group of compliance teams, it's really about trying to track every location, you know, documentation for every location, just even if you have a large team, again, these regulations are ever changing, right, Elliot? That's the thing to keep in mind. So it's almost impossible for even a team of regulatory people within an MSO to actually stay on top of what's changing, you know, by license type, by location, versus a company like Simplify, where all we do is sit there and monitor all this stuff and make sure it's up to date, right? So, you know, for a single license operator, it can be, you know, it saves them money, right? Because again, you don't have to hire lawyers to do all this work. We do it for you, from SOPs to the audit technology. It's all there for one kind of simple price. Same thing for the big MSOs. It's like they might have a lot more locations, but again, the cost factor there is drastically reduced versus human bodies that, you know, if you have tons of lawyers running around your operation. So.
SOPs, it seems like there's no way we're at the final, they were even close to the final stage of where those will be in this industry. Right. I mean, For those of you that don't know, which you probably all do, but just to say and clarify here, standard operating procedures.
Yep.
So what those are in cannabis, I would imagine we would could have a grand debate via a panel here, Marion, if you want to come back for that. But what do you all base your SOPs off of? I mean, that may be a repeat answer, but I'm just curious specifically for SOPs, you know, how are you gathering that information and or judging what to put back out there?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Elliot. So, you know, our RA team or regulatory affairs team, they literally extrapolate and create the standard operating procedures from the regulations that's published, right? By license type, by state. And so, you know, you read the legal jargon of a regulation, and then they literally take that, simplify it down, and create that SOP bundle, you know, which is why the cost of creating SOPs is quite high, right? So I think on average, an MRB spends about $20,000 to create an SOP if they're using an attorney. And then if they're updating an SOP, it's about $8,000, right? On these are average numbers, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, in comparison, with Simplifya, it's, you know, less than $1,600 to get your SOP package and everything with what we do. And then to update it, it's like $600, right? So way different numbers. But again, because we do this in volume and we're monitoring every one of the states that we're in and we're doing this, and because we are a SaaS company, you can save that cost of doing all this work for multiple clients versus when an attorney is doing it for, you know, one-offs. And so it just, you know, scale.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I would love to actually have some sort of larger conversation around SOPs one day, just to, you know, for us to actually highlight the different thoughts and opinions about what should be done there. But that being said, maybe for another day, you know, let's talk a little bit about you, man. What was your history getting into creating a SaaS company in cannabis really long before it was the cool thing to do?
Yeah. So I come from a tech background, Elliot. So I've been fortunate to have started, built and sold a handful of tech companies ranging from philanthropic software, real estate, automotive, just my background's in tech. I used to own a tequila company even. And prior to that, so I've kind of played around in a bunch of different areas, but you know, my passion really comes down to solving problems and using technology. And when we first got into the cannabis industry, or me and our partners, it was really about, okay, this is obviously going to be a really cool industry, and it's going to grow not just, you know, because I'm based here in Denver, not just in Colorado, but nationally and eventually internationally. So how do we create a solution that can basically, you know, save operators money, make their jobs easier, but also scale on a national and then global level, right? So that was really the interest. And so I'm here because the solving of problems, and I think cannabis is cool.
Hey, really interesting that, you know, the first thing you mentioned there was philanthropic software. You know, in a sense, this industry, I feel like, is built off, you know, people giving back. And, you know, people fighting for something. Have you seen any crossover between those two industries at all?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when with the philanthropic software, it's just you're trying to get massive amounts of people engaged in, you know, community or global movements of, you know, trying to help one another, right? Mm-hmm. And cannabis, I think, falls into that same kind of realm in that, you know, these are good people with a passion for a plant that's been demonized that shouldn't have been initially, right? And I think cannabis, from a philanthropic perspective, it's there to help people, you know, whether you consume it to relax or you consume it because anxiety or depression, whatever the medical cases are. And that to me is still, it's doing good, right? You're getting something that helps people. And that's, I think, the crossover in my mind, at least.
Amen. Last question for me. Yeah. Do you make your own tequila?
No, I don't. I don't. You know, I still am a big fan of tequila as a whole. But, you know, it's usually saved for Friday evening or Saturday. But no, I don't make tequila anymore.
Fair enough, man. What's your favorite? You must have a favorite.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, it just kind of depends. I'll drink anything that's 100% blue agave. But Casamigos to Espolón to Milagro, Don Julio, you know, so there's a lot of different cool brands now and a lot of really, really good brands out there. But I always tell people, like, if you're not a tequila drinker, just make sure it at least has 100% blue agave, because there are some out there that's, you know, not. It's more flavored, and they'll leave you with a really bad hangover.
Oh, we don't want that. We don't want that. And we're talking about this during dry January. We are mean people, Marian. That's fine. Y'all, only, what, 14 more days. You got this. I believe in you. Meanwhile, I'm going to go find some Casamigos. That being said, Marian, thank you so much for being here, my friend. Really appreciate your time. A really nice deep dive into Simplifya, you know, how you're building compliance and regulation as, you know, a SaaS platform. Very cool, and looking forward to some more updates soon, and hope to see you in Miami in April, man. But until then, be well, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Elliot. Nice to be on the show.
Awesome. Thank you again, Marian. Maria Thassen. I got it that time. Maria Thassen. But that being said, fantastic show. Thank you all so much for tuning in, for listening afterward. Really appreciate it. Benzinga.com/cannabis for all your news throughout the day. BZCannabis.com to check out our event in Miami, April 11th through 12th, and then Psychedelics April 13th at the Fountain Blue. We already have a heck of agenda from the CMO of Trulieve to the CEO of Kronos Group. It is just going to be another stellar one. So y'all be there or be square. With that being said, we will see you again on Benzinga's YouTube channel, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday. Until then, y'all be well.